Hey, look, everybody. It's Tommy Edmonds sitting down here at the Post Sports Bar and Grill picnic table.
Hey,
hi, Tommy. What's going on, man?
Not much. Not much. How about you guys?
The cat's here, and he's ready to bring heat.
Oh, yeah.
just want you to know, as well as you played last year, I know this is a big deal sitting at the picnic table, so don't be nervous. We're just like you. We're people, too, Tommy.
Oh, yeah. I know that. Yeah. Great to see you guys again.
I don't think he's as impressed with you as you are with you.
No, it was all of us.
Okay.
I mean, he's looking at you, and he's thinking, that's Doug Vaughn.
Big moment. Big moment for him here, I'm sure.
You have a question for him?
Well, I thought you were going to have your first question.
I don't want to hog it because you just said I feel that I'm really important or something. So I was
Tommy, you're welcome
okay.
to just get up and leave at any moment.
I was
going to
acquiesce.
Yeah, we'll stop our bickering here for just a moment. Get on to some
baseball.
All right,
baseball. Tommy, you've been interviewed by Doug Vaughn before, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy, right?
Yeah, he's cool.
All right, see, what I'm doing is now I'm letting you go ahead, ask him some
okay.
tough questions.
Oh, Lord.
See what you got.
Well, it sure is good to have you here today, Tommy.
Yeah, thanks.
How has your life changed since going from last year? You came here and not a lot of people even knew who you were. Early stuff's in the media, weren't quite sure who you were. Now you come back and it's kind of a household name in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, 2019 was a crazy year for a variety of reasons, but yeah, definitely a different experience coming into spring training this year. Having been up in the majors and had a little bit of success in the second half last year, and kind of know what to expect going into spring training, what my role with the team is going to be. And last year when I came in, I kind of had the idea that I wasn't going to make the team, and it was just an opportunity to play for the coaching staff and kind of show them what I could do. And now I definitely have kind of a different view of spring training this year.
I know you surprised a lot of people with what you did. I have a feeling you didn't surprise yourself, though, did you?
Is that all right?
Yeah. Oh,
he's talking to Joe Roderick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to get the mic up there. I think you surprised a lot of people with what you did, especially your power, but I have a feeling you didn't surprise yourself with your success.
Yeah, I mean, I had confidence in myself. I did pretty well in spring training last year, so I think that kind of gave me some confidence when I got called up that I could compete hit against pretty much anybody.
You know, one of the things I think surprised some people, not only the fact that you could play basically anywhere, even in the outfield where you didn't have much experience and you ran out there and you looked like you'd played a lot of outfield, but I think the power numbers, because you're not a big guy. And I was talking to you during the season about it, and you said that was the direct result of a sort of an adjustment in your swing, where, and you were showing it to me, and as someone who doesn't really understand the game very much, it took a while. But keeping your bat in the zone for a longer period and revamping your swing, and you said that's why you weren't surprised by the power numbers, because that was the design of the change you made, right? Can you kind of explain what that's about?
I mean, I wasn't intentionally trying to hit more homers. I'm just always working on my swing and just trying to find new tweaks to help it feel better and be more consistent. And I think I found a good one last year, and it's something that I've been working on for actually the past few years. And it's more just getting the feel to be more consistent and kind of like finding your cues in your swing that you can go back to once you start to struggle. So I think last year I did a good job of identifying the mechanics in my swing and what exactly I was doing wrong when I wasn't hitting well. And I think that kind of resulted in the stretches of kind of being in a little slump, made those a little bit shorter, and I was able to make my hot stretches last a little bit longer.
You say finding a cue. What's a cue exactly?
It's just something that you, I don't know, maybe something you can feel with, like, your hands or your hips or a starting spot, or if you're taking batting practice and you see a ball do a certain thing, you'd be like, oh, okay, that ball tailed off to the line because I did this with my hands. So the next swing, you can work especially hard on that to correct that. Versus if you don't know why it happened, then you'll just be doing random things to try to figure out why it happened instead of having a specific thing you can do.
Some guys like to go up there and just swing the bat and hit. Mark McGwire used to always say, see the ball, hit the ball. It's no more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. But you obviously take a more cerebral approach to it.
I mean, I think most guys do that now. I mean, obviously during games, you're just going up and seeing the ball, hitting the ball. But it's more about during batting practice and just doing your cage work. And I'm sure Mark, whenever he would be in the games, he would have the see ball, hit ball, but I'm sure in the cages he had certain things he would work on too.
He hit a couple over right where we're sitting now from this field over here.
Yeah, that's not too surprising, yeah.
With, you know, it's a young guy getting your first taste of the major leagues, tough enough challenge anyway, but then you're playing a million different positions. How big a challenge is that? Because some guys are like, creatures of habit. If they're not getting regular at-bats, that is different, especially for younger guys who are used to playing every day in the minors and then being thrown at different positions too. How much of a challenge was that for you?
I felt that it wasn't too bad. I think in the minors I had gotten a lot of reps at all the positions all over the infield, so when I got called up, I was very comfortable playing second, short, or third. And outfield was the new one for me, but I kind of got a little bit of a warning before I went out there so I could go out and start to take some fly balls during batting practice.
I think it was an hour and a half warning, if I recall.
Like yeah, something like that. Yeah. Hey, you're starting right today.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was able to get comfortable out there pretty quickly.
I've heard people say if you can play shortstop in the major leagues, you can play just about anywhere. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I think you have the skills to play anywhere, and it's just about learning certain techniques. But I think so, yeah.
You think it's a would you like to play just one position, have one, and know you're going to be there starting 150 games a year or so?
I mean, I don't really mind. I'll just, as long as I'm in the lineup and on the field somewhere, that's fine with me. And if that means starting at one specific position, that's great. If that means moving all over the field, that's great as well.
Yeah, your role is kind of, I guess, was defined by Ben Zobrist. You hear that a lot. He's going to be the Ben Zobrist of this team where he just plays everywhere.
Yeah, just, I mean, kind of the guy that's moving all over the field. And I think a lot of teams are using that type of player a lot more these days, and hopefully I can kind of fill that role for the Cardinals.
It's probably a fun thing to do, isn't it?
Just
to kind of never really know what the next day might bring.
Yeah, it keeps me on my toes, and just got to be prepared for anything.
With this ball club, the way it's structured right now, I think, and I don't know how involved with social media you are. I don't think you do much of that. But I think one of the main questions fans have is, will there be enough offense with this ball club? How do you look at what this team can be offensively, Tommy?
Yeah, I mean, we have tons of guys that we know are going to didn't necessarily perform as well as they did last year, and just continue to get better. I mean, we've got a lot of young guys on our team as well that are just going to keep getting better year after year. And we have, second half, we're one of the best teams in baseball. So I think that can kind of carry over into 2020.
And you went to Stanford, right?
Yes.
That was pretty easy school to get through.
Yeah, not too bad.
what did you major in? And when you were there, were you thinking, well, I'm going to be a big league ball player anyway, so I'll just kind of take what I have to get through?
I was hoping to. I mean, I'd always planned on playing baseball until they told me I shouldn't show up to the field anymore. But so I majored in mathematical and computational science.
Oh, yeah, we did too.
Yeah, we did.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what would you have done?
To be honest with it, Stanford was our safety school.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, some of us started at junior college and just held Stanford back. So what would you have done with that?
It's a major with a lot of like statistics mixed with computer science and a little bit of math and econ in there as well. So there's kind of a variety of routes I could have taken. I could have potentially gone into some type of finance. I mean, there's a huge variety of things, finance, tech, or something more like statistical based.
Yeah.
I think one thing I could have done is try to join a baseball team in a front office capacity.
Since that's where most of the jobs are going with guys with that background now.
Yeah, there's such high demand for those types of jobs. Yeah. So many opportunities out there, but at the same time, there's so many applicants.
So with that background, would you be able to crack the code on daily fantasy sports?
I love to play fantasy sports. However, I didn't do very well this past year.
Fantasy football?
Yeah, I think in our league, I think I finished like 10th of 12. Or
was this a Cardinal teammate league?
It was, yes.
Yeah. Who won it?
I think Wayno won it.
Really? He's really into it too.
He's pretty good. I mean, everybody's really into it.
Yeah.
But I didn't totally understand the way the scoring worked this year. There's a bunch of weird bonuses.
Doug sounds like he dealt with the same stuff you deal with that malware every year.
Yeah, I've had a lot of trouble with computer viruses.
Yeah.
Do you think my team every year.
Based on being a player but also having the background in the analytical side, because you always hear the old school guys say the analytics take the human factor out of, you know, rating a player, assessing a player. Do you see it differently? I mean, because you actually play the game, and it's an interesting mix for you because you have the background and also play. Do you think that that's a fair assessment if you just go by numbers, and does it take the human element away?
I think that there is a human element that that analytics don't really account for. I mean, things as simple as how well a guy fits into a clubhouse or something like that, or if he performs well, like clutch late in the game.
Do you think there is something to that? That is a real thing. That's a tangible trait.
I think so. I think there are guys that get tougher when the moment gets when there's more pressure on the line.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sure there are certain analytics that kind of can measure that, but just mental toughness in general, I think that can't be measured by a specific stat. I think that it is very valuable. I think the analytics is very valuable for certain things, but there are certain things that it's not able to measure.
And you said one of them is a clubhouse environment.
If you're
happy with your teammates, everybody gets along, that would be a big beneficial
thing. And if not, this is the perfect place to just go ahead and air the grievance.
Yeah, who don't you like in there?
Well, who's tearing this team apart?
If you could.
Well, I think, there is a huge element to enjoying showing up to the field every day. Mm-hmm. If you're showing up and dreading getting there because you don't like the guys you're playing with, then I think that doesn't create an environment where you're going to perform as well as you can. So, fortunately, we got a team that everyone loves each other, and we all like showing up to the field and performing for each other. And it's almost like you're going to war with your brothers. If you're going to war with people that you don't really like, then you're not going to be incentivized to play as hard.
Tommy Edmonds sitting down with us here at the Post Sports Bar and Grill picnic table. A couple more before we let you go. I'm curious. On the outside looking in, I think we would assume Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright are the guys who would be leaders, certainly with what they've done in the game and also their veteran presence. First off, I would imagine that you would agree with that. But who else is in there? I remember when Matheny, he was the manager, but before, when he was a player, I remember some of the guys going, he doesn't really talk a lot, but he's just a guy who is a presence. And by example, he was a leader, even though he wasn't the star on the team. And Woody Williams was a pitcher. Presence, it wasn't necessarily that he was a superstar, although he was an all-star. So sometimes it's guys that maybe the public wouldn't necessarily think of wind up filling that role. So who would you consider in that spot for the Cardinals, Tommy?
I think as a young player, you definitely do look up to Yadi and Waino. And, that they've been doing it for 15, 16 years now. And so those are the guys that are going to set a great example for everybody. I think one person that is definitely a leader with his mentality is Jack Flaherty on the mound.
Wow, so that's impressive at a young age.
I think whenever he's on the mound, you see him go out there with that bulldog mentality, and he's just a guy that everyone loves playing around. He kind of just sets the tone for the game.
He's also wildly mature for a kid his age. Even the other pitchers, the young guys who may be older than him, have always looked to Jack as a leader, and they say there's something about him.
Yeah, anyone can learn from observing him and his competitiveness, and he shows a presence on the mound that is hard to beat.
One last thing, because each team has its own personality. You talk about leadership. One of the things with this ball club, and it's different from year to year, but even when things were going south for you guys, you go in the clubhouse after a game, and sometimes it's hard to tell win or loss, and I think it was you guys were confident the whole time, but you didn't really celebrate wins like you just won the World Series or take a loss as the season's over now.
Yeah, I think that's very important in baseball, especially with there being 162 games. I think if you get let those emotions go too high or too low, then I think it's going to be pretty draining over the course of full season. So I think we have a lot of veteran players that really understand that and are able to kind of set the tone for everybody else.
Tommy, we appreciate you sitting down with us, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Tommy. Major, again, was mathematical what?
And computational science.
Yeah, if you can't get into journalism school, it's a decent fallback position.
That's all right. Yeah.
And after baseball's done, you could join us at the picnic table. The money's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty sick over here.
Yeah, well, I'll look into it.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy.